do with what I was going to talk about. So I just want to share a little bit of what was going on in our lives with you. Are any of you all procrastinators? Anybody procrastinator? I see a lot of wives going. If mine was down here, she'd be like pointing right at me, right? I'm not always a procrastinator. I usually have a plan, and my plan would probably take me 30 seconds so that I'm ready, right? I've thought about this plan so long that now all I have to do is execute said plan, okay? So that's not procrastination. I'm the guy that shops on Christmas Eve, okay? That's just me. Wait till the last possible moment to get something done. Today we're going to talk a little bit about preparation and why it's important. You see, God has been preparing us for a long time. Ever since the fall of man, God has been preparing. God has had a plan to fix our mistakes. He knew the cost of our mistakes was going to be eternal death, right? He knew that for us. He said, I've got to do something about it. I've got to prepare. And he didn't want that for his people. So he decided to sacrifice his son as payment for our sins. That was his plan. That was his preparation. That was his intentional doing. God says, hey, here's the problem. I'm prepared for that. So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to sacrifice my son. And he did it at the perfect time, didn't he? He did. And that's what this morning when we celebrate communion, that's what we're celebrating together, is that sacrifice of his son for our sins. He was prepared when we weren't. He was prepared when we weren't. And he always is. He is always prepared when we're not. The gentle balance you have to find is, where do you rely on his preparedness and your preparedness, right? I would tell you that God will bless you in the details, right? You ever heard the devil's in the details? Okay. If you are prepared and you look ahead and you know his will, there will be a blessing inside that. As if you take the opposite, I was teasing about my 30-second plan, but a little bit. You know, let's say I got up here on this stage and my preparation was 30 seconds before I got up here. Now, I can wing a sermon, but it wouldn't be really God-honoring, would it? See, the preparation is where I get fed. You guys get fed from my preparation, okay? We're going to look at some scriptures this morning. I didn't have them on the screen on purpose because y'all got Bibles and you can read. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 3. We're going to stay in the book of Matthew today. So I made it very simple for you. Matthew chapter 3. We're going to look at just a couple verses here and then move on. So if you can, find Matthew chapter 3. And we're going to start at the very first verse there. We're going to read 1 through 3. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. We've all heard of John the Baptist, right? And we know a little bit about him. He's Jesus' cousin. Okay, John the Baptist is Jesus' cousin. And his purpose in life was to prepare the way for Jesus. He was to go out into the wilderness or into the desert, whatever translation yours says, and speak about his arrival. He was to go and tell the people, hey, the Messiah is coming. He is here. Get ready. Okay? That was his job, and he did it pretty well. But I want you to see something really quick here. It's in the beginning of verse 3. It says, this is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. What did God do there? What did God do there? God used Old Testament prophet Isaiah to prepare the people for John the Baptist. He said, hey, there's going to be somebody coming that's going to prepare the way for my son, right? He's always preparing the next step. Wish I was him. Not just for that reason. But he's always preparing. And he says, he has John the Baptist, and John the Baptist's message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. That's Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us, has come to earth. You better repent. The kingdom of heaven is near. But he tells us in the Old Testament that this is coming. And he wants us to be prepared. So the people, and the Bible scholars and the Pharisees, later, like just a few verses later, the Pharisees and the Sadducees come and they want to be around John the Baptist. And, you know, they're just really kind of checking him out, see what's going on. And it's funny, he calls them a brood of vipers. But his message was repent. Repent. Get ready. See, these Pharisees knew someone like him was coming. They should have known because they had a lot of the Old Testament already memorized, and then they knew the words of the prophets. There's going to be one coming in the wilderness, a voice crying out. A voice crying out. Now, John the Baptist, a lot of people just thought he was a little bit sketchy because he had weird clothes and he ate weird. Right? His clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. But people went to him. They flocked to him. They wanted to know, okay, so he was different. And they wanted to know why. What made this man different? Other than the obvious, you know, he looks different and he talks different. I would tell you what made him different was God. God sent him with a purpose. And he said, go prepare the way for my son. And that's what he did. We're back to obedience again. I just can't get away from it. But let me tell you about some other people that God prepared. We're not going to look at all the scriptures because I told you we're not going to leave in Matthew. But there was this guy, and God found him righteous. Okay? And he was the only righteous one that he found, he and his family. And God comes to him and says, hey, listen, it's going to rain a lot. I'm going to need you to build a boat. Right? God prepared Noah for the flood. But didn't he prepare Noah to tell the people, hey, there's a flood coming, repent, get ready, get on the ship with me. There's plenty of room. Listen, it's this many cubits, and listen, it's huge. Get on there with us. No, they didn't. God prepared Joshua for leadership. God prepared Moses for the Exodus. Have you ever been Moses? You know, God comes to you and says, I need you to do this. And you're like, oh, I don't talk real good, and I can't do that. And why don't you send Aaron? That's my brother. You can send him. We're in a family. Send him. No, he specifically prepared Moses. What? Why? Because he saw something in Moses. He said, you can be used in this specific situation for my glory. I'm preparing you. Trust me. Now go. He prepared the prophets for proclaiming the truth. Those guys had a terrible job, and I feel like I share in their burden right now. You know, you got to share truth with people that they might not want to hear all the time. You're not kings and queens, so a little less scary, but still the same. You know, when a truth comes out, it can hurt sometimes. And he prepared those prophets for that, for this service. So John says, I will baptize you with water. We're jumping down to 11, sorry. We jump down to 11. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. John's talking about a guy that sounds really scary. He says, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. See, John recognized that although God was using him to prepare the way, that he wasn't the way.
right? So sometimes as we get into a leadership role or as we get a little bit of authority, we tend to forget that it's about Jesus, not us, right? We tend to forget that we're trying to point people back to Jesus. And that's what John the Baptist nailed right here. He said, there's going to be someone coming after me whose sandals I'm not even worthy to kiss. I can't even bend down and unstrap it. I'm just not worthy for that servanthood. He says, you think I'm good? Wait till you see Jesus. You know? He was literally preparing the people for Jesus. So turn to the right. We're going to Matthew 25 now. Matthew chapter 25. Again, we're going to start at verse 1. I'll read this to you, and this is the bulk of the scripture we're going to go through. It says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like, this is Jesus speaking, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in the coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." All the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, you go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding, banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I do not know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." So, I'll just break it down real quick. So, there's 5 women on this side, there's 5 women on this side. This side was prepared. This side had plenty of oil in their jars, and they had refills. And this side decided to not prepare, but to just show up and expect everything to be okay because they showed up. All right? How'd that work out? Not so good. Not so good. These five over here, what happened is they fell asleep while their lamps were burning, didn't they? But they weren't concerned when they woke up. What did they do? They just put more oil in their lamps. These ones over here, yeah, I think these ones are technical. These ones decided, "Oh no, now I gotta borrow from people. Give us some oil, please." And in the scheme of the kingdom of heaven, these 5 are at the door knocking because they weren't prepared. They're at the door of the kingdom of heaven and they're knocking on it. "Lord, Lord, please let us in." Some translations say, "Lord, Lord," I love that. "Lord, please let us in. We're back. I'm ready now. I'm back with my oil. I'm ready to get in. Please let us in." And he says, "I don't know you. I don't know you." So what's the moral? Where am I going? It should be pretty simple. If you're not prepared and you're not ready right now, it might be too late. If Jesus comes back and he says, "All right, let's go. It's time to go to heaven." And you're like, "Oh, but wait, I haven't done this. I didn't accept you. I didn't live for you. I thought I had more time." He's going to say, "Away from me, I never knew you. Away from me, I never knew you." And that is the scariest thing I can imagine you ever hearing in your life. I want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," not "Away from me, I never knew you." So what was the difference between these 5 and these 5? Preparation. Preparation is the complete difference between those who are knocking on the door begging to get in and those who are already in. So how can we prepare for the kingdom of heaven? And I would tell you, it is so simple, but we overcomplicate it.
We overcomplicate it because we want it to be hard, don't we? If we're honest, we want it to be difficult for other people to get. We kind of want it to be like Jonah. We don't want those people to repent. We want it to be difficult. I live my life the entire time. Sorry, that's an old argument I had with somebody. Deathbed confessions and whatnot. And we'll talk about it someday. Anyway, but listen. Here's how you prepare yourself. You recognize that God is who He says He is. And you bow down on your knees and give thanks for that. Because He is who He is, and you're not who He is. Right? I tease and say, I wish I was Him. I could not imagine doing what He does. Okay? Two, you recognize that He decided, or that He was prepared and said, hey, you're not going to be able to make it to me, but here's a sacrifice. Accept it. And you don't even have to do anything physically to accept that. You just have to, in your heart, believe and accept that. Just receive this gift. It's just like, it's no different than on Christmas morning you go and there's a tree and there's a present, unwrapping it. Why would we leave a wrapped present underneath a tree? It would make no sense, right? And it's got your name on it. Don't you want to know what's inside? Surprise, salvation. Right? So that's so simple. We go, we recognize, oh, hey, this gift came from God. I should unwrap it. Oh, look, it's Jesus. He died for my sins. Awesome. Guys, I really wish it was harder than that, but it's not. Really, I do sometimes. I just wish you had to do this, and this, and you had to jump this obstacle. But God said, I have a better plan. I'm way more prepared than you, Nathan. And here's what you have to do to get to me. Recognize me, serve me, love me, accept my son, serve him, love him. Okay, so now we're prepared. All right, we're prepared. And I told you we had another job. We have another job to go as a voice crying out. God did not come to me and say, Nathan, you are going to be a voice in the wilderness. He didn't say that to me. What did he say? I looked over in Matthew at the end of it, and he said something like, go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's what he said to me. So I don't have this cool, you know, I'm laying in bed. I don't have that cool story. I don't. One day I was reading the Bible and it said to do something, so I said, oh, hey, everything else I should take to my life, so I guess I should have to do this. So now that we have prepared ourselves and prepared our hearts, it is time to help go and prepare the other people. Why? Because if we don't, who will? If we don't, who will? And it can be as simple as a smile and a handshake. Just being warm, loving, accepting, caring. You can pick some of those. Joyful, peaceful. Can I just tell you that some Christians look like they got baptized in pickle juice? All right, it looked like they went down. I'm a Christian. Happy God. Oh, yeah, tell your face. Right? This doesn't seem happy. Right? Have some joy. Have some peace. Have some kindness, some compassion with one another. Right? As if John the Baptist went out to the people and was yelling at them all the time, now I'm sure he was a boisterous guy because he was a big guy. But if he's yelling at them the whole time, you think they're going to hang out very long? Or what if he said, hey, listen, this is super serious, so pay attention. The kingdom of heaven is near. Repent and prepare yourself. I'm not telling you to go stand on a corner with a bullhorn saying, repent, you're going to hell. What I'm saying is, invest in those around you. Invest in your family members. Start there. Start with your family. That's simple, right? I have a family member, and I love her to death. But I'm not allowed to talk about religion or politics. Right? And I mean, like, you want to shut down Thanksgiving? Bring up God. You know I'm a pastor, right? We're talking about God for a minute. But so start with your family and just say, hey, look, you know, are you prepared? I hate this approach, so don't do this. Don't go knock on someone's door. If you die today, where would you get out? Right? We got time for that. But really, I mean, in a meaningful, heartfelt conversation, say, hey, listen, I'm prepared. Are you? If not, what can we do? You know? And as we continue to do that, God's people will be ready for Him. Right? We are all a voice crying out in the wilderness at some point. As you go to your jobs, you are probably a minority. And you are a voice crying out in the wilderness. People that know you're a Christian are going to expect you to treat them a certain way, aren't they? Okay? I don't care what they expect. What's He expect? God expects you to treat people with a certain way, right? With love and kindness and compassion. Is it easy? Absolutely not. Do you ever just want to rip someone's head off? Probably. But that's because we're human. What I'm telling you, though, is you can't prepare a people group or even one person. You cannot prepare them for the kingdom of heaven until you invest in them, until you spend time with them, until you build a relationship with them. Because, I mean, I can yell it from the rooftop, repent, the kingdom of heaven is near, and someone will probably hear me and just drive on and say, look at that lunatic, he's on the roof. But if I went to someone, you know, and said, hey, listen, I'm seriously concerned. I see the signs. Jesus is coming back. He said He was. So let's just pretend it's tomorrow. Are you ready? And if not, there's a God. He is the God. He sent His Son for your save, or to save you from your sins. Would you like to have that gift? Guys, it's easy. It's easy, but we're not doing it. It's easy, but it's tough. So that's my challenge. That's my challenge is, if you are not prepared, then get prepared. Okay? If you are on the side, if you're over here on this side, and you're not ready, I'm not judging, I'm not pointing a finger at you, but if you're over here, and it's not just this group, but if you're over here, you know, and you didn't bring enough oil for your lamp, that's fine. Get ready. Okay? Get ready. Change your current situation to be prepared for the future. Now, if you are over here and you're prepared, you know, you got your oil. What was that one I talked about last week? Pouring your oil out so God can refill it. Oh, yeah. We're going to pour our oil out so God can refill it, right? So if you got a bunch of jars of oil and you see people over here, like, man, they don't have nothing. Here. Look at there. If you're prepared, help prepare others. If we took this simple, I don't know, what is this, process, and executed it well, everybody be ready. Everybody be ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I had a conversation with a guy this week. He said, I'm ready right now. And quite honestly, I wish he'd just go ahead and take me. And I said, well, you know, there'll be people that miss you. And he's like, where I'm going, I don't care. You know, I mean, he's just one of those guys. He's just that. I mean, just that's his mindset. He's not suicidal, but he's like, you know, if I got to go, I got to go. I'm ready right now. And then I've talked to some people that are like, well, I got to get my finances. I got to get my life in order. I got to get a better job. I got to quit cussing. I got to quit eating pork. Whatever people put in their way. Whatever excuse people throw out there, right? Okay, can I just tell you that Jesus will accept you where you are? If you're all the way over there, you ain't even got a jar to put your oil in, He'll take you. He'll take you. He'll take you dirty. He'll take you disgusting. He'll take you bloody. He'll take you drunk. He'll take you sober. He'll take you any way He can get you, but He's not going to leave you where He found you. Right? So just know that. If He had to come all the way out to the ghetto and the slums and pull you out of that crack house, He's going to bring you all the way back over here to where He is. Alright? He loves you enough to come and get you where you are, but not leave you there. Okay? And that's one thing that we as Christians need to understand, that as we're prepared and we're trying to help prepare others, it's going to get ugly. It's going to be a little bit messy. We're going to have to go some places that are unfavorable. We're going to have to probably put our children in situations where, there might be people there that we wouldn't normally hang out with. But can I tell you, if that's God's calling for you, that He will protect you and He will bless you. You think Elijah wanted to go lay in that brook while there was a desert? No. But he was obedient. Some of us are, some of us aren't. You know which one you are. I don't. God does. Right? God knows if you're obedient or not. Don't be stuck with an empty lamp beating on the kingdom's door, saying, I wish I was prepared. I wish I was prepared. Okay? Don't live your entire life knowing the truth and not responding to it. Don't live your entire life knowing the truth and pretending it's not the truth. Don't live your entire life having heard the gospel and not sharing it with someone else. Don't take this gift and hold it for yourself, because we're supposed to share it. We're supposed to help prepare other people. For the kingdom of heaven is near. Hear me. The kingdom of heaven is near. So get ready. Because I'm ready to go right now. And I want y'all to come with me. We're going to have a big old party. It'll be fun. There's going to be sweet tea. Y'all come to my house, my mansion. My mansion faces the west. We got sweet tea on the porch. A rocking swing. It's not in scripture. I just made it up. It's the gospel according to Nathan. All right? But I'm serious, okay? There's some seriousness in there. We got to get ready for His return. And there's no better time to start than now. So if you find yourself and you're sitting in your chair this morning and you're thinking, God, am I ready? Ask Him to show you areas where you might not be ready. And then don't just recognize it and say, well, I kind of like that, so I'm not going to change that. That's disobedience. So say, God, if you're serious, show me where I'm not prepared. Show me where I'm not prepared for the kingdom of heaven. And God, please help me in that area. And watch what happens. Watch what happens. And just a warning, if you're over here and you're part of the prepared group, just know that there's probably something in you that needs work. Okay? I've told you before, your faith is a journey. You never just arrive. You're never just like, whoop, done. I've done this, that. Ready to go. It's like waiting on a bus. No, that's not how life is. Okay? There's always going to be something that we can get better. Why? Because we are fallible human beings. And each and every day, the goal for me, at least, I have two goals. I want to make God smile each and every day, and I want to look just a little bit more like Him each and every day. Okay, I want God to sit up on His throne and look down and be like, you see that? That's my boy. He's smiling, right? I just want God to notice that I'm trying to be like Him, and I know that He does. I know that He does, and I want Him to point out to me those spots where I'm not. Okay? So if you can pray those things with honesty and transparency and actually do something with the information once you get it, you're on your way to being prepared. You're on your way to being prepared. Guys, it's easy for me to say, it's actually easy for me to do, but it's not easy for every one of us to do. So I would encourage you to not work on this alone. You know, I've told you before, to get somebody that you can be held accountable to, maybe an accountability partner. Let them know, hey, say, hey, listen, I'm prepared, but so-and-so in my life isn't. And I'm just praying for guidance in that situation. I'm praying for God to open a door. And let them ask you, hey, you told me about that. How'd that go? You know, because if I tell someone, hey, I got to have a conversation with somebody, then I know they're going to ask me, hey, how'd that go? Right? So that's kind of my, well, I got to do it because now I got to tell them how it went. And if I go back and like, well, I didn't do it, then I didn't practice what I preach, and then a whole other thing. Right? I don't like going down those roads, so if I tell you I'm going to do it, I'll do it. All right? Easy enough?
Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would prepare us for your service. That you would search us out. That you would show us your plans for our lives. And for the lives of those that you have put in ours. God, I pray that you could use us to help prepare others for your kingdom, for your glory, for eternity, God. Lord, I thank you for being you. I thank you for always being in our lives, being everywhere that we are, the good and the bad. Most importantly, I thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus. And I stand here and I proclaim that I accept that gift. And I hope there's others here this morning that could make that same proclamation. And we lift this prayer up in his precious name. Amen. I'm going to have the praise team come up. They're going to sing another song. I had the elders come up here this morning. And if you're prepared or not prepared, we still want to love you. We still want to talk to you. We still want to pray with you. Guys, no matter what's going on in your life, just know that if we pray with you, we're just interceding for you and with you. We're not going to stand up here and judge you. We're not going to go to our lunch and say, oh, hey, someone's okay board for this and that. Okay? We don't do that. We just want to love you, and we seriously want to prepare you for the kingdom of heaven is here. So if you want to stand, we'll sing this last song.